This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Did you watch the Democratic convention last night? Did you hear all this?
Let's make sure that the Supreme Court does not pick the next president, and that this president is not the one who picks the next Supreme Court.
He also knows the horrors of war and the responsibilities of leadership. And I am confident that next January, he will restore the judgment and maturity to our government that nowadays is sorely lacking.
I came here to share my personal knowledge of a young naval officer who rose to the challenges and responsibilities of leadership and who has always shown the courage to speak truth to power.
He will lower the deficit, not raise it. He will create good jobs, not lose them. And he will solve a health care crisis for our people, not ignore it.
During the Vietnam War, many young men, including the current president, the vice president, and me, could have gone to Vietnam and didn't. John Kerry came from a privileged background. He could have avoided going too, but instead, he said, "Send me."
Excerpts from last night's Democratic Convention speeches by Al Gore, Jimmy Carter, John Kerry's crewmate from Vietnam, the Reverend David Alston, Hillary Clinton, and Bill Clinton. So, what did you think of the spectacle, of the speeches in particular? If it was a show, was it a better show or a worse one than you expected? Did the speeches inspire you, turn you off, leave you nonplussed? How so? Which ones? It's Monday morning quarterbacking Tuesday afternoon here on Talk of the Nation. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or you can send us email, TOTN at NPR.org. And joining us now from the NPR Election Studio in Boston is NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. Good to have you back, Ken.
Thank you, Neil.
So what's the buzz today? How are Democrats responding to their opening night reviews?
Well, the reviews are pretty good. The speeches did exactly what they wanted to do. They didn't alienate the so-called swing voters, you know, the nine voters out there who have not decided yet. They didn't alienate the undecideds out there, but they did fire up a hugely partisan crowd here in Boston.
Anything unexpected?
No, I would guess. I would say not. I mean, I guess the interesting thing is probably the harshest criticism of President Bush came from Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter has not been a very widely outspoken on things like this lately, and he hasn't really given a major speech at a Democratic convention since '92. But he basically had the strongest attacks on George Bush, on his leadership, on his military preparedness, the reason to go to war, and where was he during the Vietnam War.
And, of course, that came up in former President Clinton's speech as well in that, that little excerpt we played, George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and I didn't go.
He played the perfect foil for John Kerry because he knows what the Republican criticism is of himself, that, you know, Vietnam was not an issue, or at least the Democrats didn't want it to be an issue in 1996 when you had a certified war hero, Bob Dole, running against an alleged draft dodger, Bill Clinton. But again, 1996 is a million years away from 2004. The war is paramount, and military records seem to be more important than they were back then.
I wasn't watching the entire evening's events there in Boston, but the speech by former President Clinton seemed to be the most electric moment of the evening.
Well, you know something, Al Gore gave, he did not want to look back, but he got a very warm welcome. I suspect that one of the reasons he didn't get a primetime speech, or at least later in the evening, maybe because he endorsed Howard Dean, or maybe because a lot of Democrats would not rather be reminded of what happened in the results of 2000. But he got a very loud ovation, and then when Hillary Clinton came on, it was deafening. And then when she introduced her husband, Bill Clinton, it was the loudest I've ever heard a convention reception in all my years of covering conventions.
If you'd like to give us your reactions to what happened last night, 800-989-8255, or email TOTN at NPR.org. Let's talk to Cortland, who's on the line with us from Salt Lake City in Utah.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I thought the most electrifying part of the evening was listening to the Reverend Alstrom.
Yes.
It was just, it just sent shivers down my spine. It was just, I thought that was by far the most electrifying part of the evening.
I believe his name is David Alston.
Alston.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. And Ken, there was an interesting it was quite a good speech. This, of course, a man who was also a shipmate of, or boatmate of, John Kerry's in Vietnam.
That's correct. And you know what's interesting is that he had the crowd on its feet from almost the moment he began speaking, and he never paused for you know, to acknowledge cheers. He had never paused to acknowledge the whooping and hollering, but perhaps maybe he had a time limit. But he knew what he wanted to say. He made the case for John Kerry, as did the other speakers, but it was a very moving speech. And I guess in answer to your earlier question, what was unexpected, certainly Reverend Alston's speech was perhaps that.
Cortland, thanks very much.
Well, and one more thing. If they want to electrify the undecided, I mean, send him out around the country to speak to people. It was just moving.
Well, hasn't John Kerry been? I remember back in Iowa, he was going around with several of his Vietnam veterans associates.
And matter of fact, back then in Iowa, when we were all complaining that John Kerry was a tepid speaker, it was basically his crewmates who really got the crowd on his feet. It's talking about John Kerry's heroism, 30 years ago.
Thanks, Cortland.
Thank you.
And I wanted to follow up on a point that he made, or I think that you made, Ken, of talking through the applause, the time limits. Were speakers told to just talk through the applause because it was a Democratic convention? They were running a little late.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard that. Of course, I've heard that you don't want to be overly partisan. Now, how could you not be partisan at a party convention? That's amazing to me, that kind of edict. But again, nobody has really said anything incendiary. Certainly last night they didn't. Of course, you have more incendiary speakers today with Ted Kennedy and Howard Dean and others. Mm-hmm. But certainly last night was, if there was any edict, it was basically what I heard was don't go over the top. And nobody did. Even though Bill Clinton did criticize the Bush administration, he did it without personally criticizing him. And I think that's exactly what the Democratic message wants to come out of here.
Let's talk now with Daniel, who's with us from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Listen, my comment is that the broadcast network, particularly CNN, seemed pretty annoying when it came to the talking heads talking too much, especially when they were trying to introduce all of the women senators. It seemed that they were cutting away from, you know, the other issues that were going on and other people that were being presented, Shirley Chisholm, those things. And so I'd like to get some comments or your opinions on the talking heads of the networks just talking over really some really important background things that were going on.
Well, this is Ken Rudin speaking. I mean, I can't address that because I was on the floor of the convention all last night. But I did listen to the NPR broadcast, and I hope instead of watching CNN, you'll be listening to NPR tonight. But we had a lot of
I actually switched to C-SPAN channel, and that sort of solved the problem.
Daniel, you and I did the same thing.
Yes.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Daniel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Ara, and Ara's calling from Marin County in California.
Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. The reason I just loved last night was Bill Clinton's speech, where he actually pointed the finger at himself and his quote-unquote character flaws, such as not serving in the military and choosing not to, before the Republicans could come back at him and say, well, how can you point the finger at us for not serving? I just loved that about him last night. And also talking about being a multi-millionaire now. And I thought that was so wonderful. He just knew how to present each and every detail point. It was lovely. It was great.
I agree with you completely, and my mind immediately goes back to the 1988 convention where Ted Kennedy stood up in Atlanta, and basically he was criticizing then Vice President George Bush, the senior George Bush, and his refrain throughout the convention was, "Where was George? Where was George?" And it got a big hooting and hollering in Atlanta. But a month later, when the Republicans had that their convention, they come up with a slogan, "Where was Ted?" with all these Chappaquiddick references. So the mistake that Teddy Kennedy made in 88 was he set himself up. Bill Clinton took that argument out of Republican hands last night.
It was brilliant.
Ara, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're speaking with Ken Rudin from the Democratic Convention in Boston, Massachusetts, and taking your calls if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And with us now on the line is Adam, who's in southern Minnesota.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just want to say that, you know, the Democrats have I guess, took a lesson from the Wellstone funeral slash political rally. And I saw the Democratic convention, and you know what? They're getting to the points of what we're what they're trying to do. You know, focus on the positives. You know, not so much attack Bush's record, but you know, where are these promises that he's, you know, promised us 4 years ago?
Getting back to Bill Clinton's speech last night, Ken Rudin, we have a choice between two strong leaders who both love their country.
Right. He did not criticize George Bush by name. As a matter of fact, I think Al Gore was the only person among Hillary and Bill and Jimmy Carter. Gore was the only one who mentioned the president's name, but only once in passing. Nobody else even mentioned them. They all said he's a good President Bush, especially Bill Clinton said this. President Bush is a good man, but he just has the wrong vision for the country. Going back to that, the reference earlier about the Paul Wellstone funeral, basically, Democrats, a lot of analysts feel that the Democrats lost that seat after the unfortunate, tragic death of Paul Wellstone right before the 2002 election. Democrats turned their funeral into what many saw as a partisan rally, and the Republicans capitalized on that, and Democrats were very clear not to make that same mistake last night.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Many commentators, among them NPR's Mara Liasson, pointed out, I think, that last night Bill Clinton was able to explain what John Kerry was all about better than John Kerry has yet to do.
Well, you know, we've heard that so many times. We're always saying that, well, John Edwards will overshadow John Kerry and Bill Clinton will overshadow him and Hillary Clinton. And, you know, we said that about Ronald Reagan in 1988 with the first George Bush, that Reagan would overshadow him. The point is that you want the best to sell your party and to sell your candidate. And Bill Clinton, this is exactly where you want to hear him. You don't want to hear him in a swing state. You don't want to hear him 2 days before the election. But you want to hear him in a hall with thousands of deeply partisan Democrats unhappy with the state of affairs in Washington. Bill Clinton makes that case. But again, I guarantee you that John Kerry will do the best he can when he gives his acceptance speech on Thursday.
Let's talk with Stuart, who's calling from Northern California.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on. I thought that the most mesmerizing moment of the evening for me was the way that Bill Clinton did something that the Democratic Party has been unable to do for over a decade, which is to distinguish itself from the Republican point of view philosophically. The way he kept saying, and he did it without attacking President Bush, by saying, they stand for this, this is their worldview, ours is dramatically different, ours is this.
Right, that's exactly what he did. He never said that they're wrong and we're right. He said, look, I'll give you the choice. Here's what the Republicans stand for. Here's what the last 4 years have been. Here's what John Kerry offers in as an opposition.
Well,
fair, though, he did it without an ad hominem attack at all, which I thought was brilliant. And I think if the Kerry and Edwards can capitalize on that kind of conceptualization, it's going to be a very exciting race.
It could be an exciting race, but to be fair, the rhetorical device was they'll give you, they don't care about the working man or the poor, and we do. I mean, that was the kind of choice he was offering. He was putting it in very partisan terms.
But again,
you're right, Ken, not in pejorative terms.
I mean, we saw in 1988 when Ann Richards, you know, came up and said, you know, poor George Bush Sr., he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I mean, that was just ridicule and personal attack, and you did not hear it last night.
Okay. Stuart, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And, Ken, last night the theme was, a stronger America. What's the theme tonight?
Well, you have basically the theme is really the new speakers. I mean, you can hear a lot of the old, the new. You can hear Howard Dean, who once upon a time was the new and suddenly has become the old. But you'll also hear Barack Obama, the state senator from Illinois, who's hoping to become the third third African-American senator in history. He's a clear favorite to win the seat. He is considered a big rising star in the party. I've not read anything but a glowing remarks about him, really, really popular in the party. But also, everybody's watching for what Teresa Hines has said. She is a very controversial person, a very unscripted person in a very scripted convention.
And before we get a lot of emails, he would be the third African-American to be elected to the United States Senate. We'll make that distinction. Ken Rudin, thanks very much. And we'll be talking with you more later. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News, Washington.